The word confess or confessed or confesseth, confessing or confession, is used, as I could find, 47 times in both the Old and New Testament. In both the Hebrew and the Greek, the word carries the same meaning. It simply means to give thanks, to praise, to make known, declare, tell, to agree, admit, or to acknowledge something. And when you come across this word, the context where the word is used will determine what is to be acknowledged or what is to be confessed. But yet, in all these texts, there's two things in common concerning this. That when someone heard something, they made acknowledgement of that upon hearing what was said. We looked at our scripture reading in Romans 10 and verse 9 when it talked about, for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with mouth confession is made in salvation. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that is a confession that is to be made. And we see this in Acts chapter 8. And this is what we're looking at when something is said, someone that acknowledges that. In Acts chapter 8, Philip opened his mouth in verse 35 and began this scripture, preached Jesus to him. That is the eunuch. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And with that, the eunuch acknowledged what he heard when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, much like Sister Brock and Donnie did this morning when Donnie uttered those words, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? She made that acknowledgement in saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It wasn't, yes, I do, upon what Donnie said, but she acknowledged those very words with her own mouth, that she believed that. So there was no confusion of that that's what she believed, because she made that statement. And we hopefully can understand that. When you turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 13, Paul there makes this statement. He says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things before Christ Jesus. He said, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. So Paul is here relating the confession that Jesus Christ made when he stood before Pontius Pilate. And this confession is found in John chapter 18. There as Jesus stands before Pilate in verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus, said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered and said, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests, have delivered you to me. What have you done? And then Jesus makes this statement about his kingdom was not of this world. If it were, then his servants would fight. And Pilate again says, are you king of the Jews? In verse 37. Jesus said, you say rightly that I am king. So Jesus acknowledged something that Pilate said to him. He didn't say, no, you say, he said, I am the king of the Jews. So it's an acknowledgement of something, a confession that you make when you hear something that is said concerning you. In John chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, concerning the blind man that was healed there. In verse 16, they criticize Jesus when they say, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. In other words, the miracle that Christ performed, they tried to belittle that miracle. And they say, this man's not from God. He don't keep certain things. They asked his parents, in verse 20, his parents answered and said to them, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind. They make that acknowledgement that they knew this. But what means he now sees, we do not know. In verse 23, when they keep asking the parents, his parents said, he is of age, asked him. So they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. When you drop down to verse 30, this man answers them back on what they had said. When he says, the man answered and said to them, why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from? Yet he has opened my eyes. When questioned about who healed him, he acknowledged who healed him. And so that's what a confession is. When something is said, you make acknowledgement for that. Acts chapter 26, we see there concerning the Sadducees and the dispute that arose when Paul was in their midst. Acts 26, chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducee and the other Pharisee, he cried out, in the council said, "Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of dead, I'm being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees said there's no resurrection and no angels or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So when Paul made this statement that I am a Pharisee, then they confessed this also. So it's a confession that is made upon something that is said that provokes something to be said. John chapter 1. Again, different ways this word is used. In verse 19, concerning John, said, "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And John says he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" And so something they said provoked a response that he gave. Upon hearing, they said, when they asked, said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am not the Christ." So there's something that, if you will, that he acknowledged. Acts chapter 24, as Paul is before Felix. And you see in verse 5, the accusation that was made against Paul said, "We have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene." In verse 9, "The Jews also consented, maintaining these things of which they said were so." In verse 10, it says, "Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered." And Paul's reaction to this is found in verse 14. He says, "But this I confess upon what was said about him, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." And you can see upon an accusation or something that was said, a confession was made by that person in response to that, okay? And so we understand ways in which that word is used and the meaning of it. But we want to look at one other way, and that is when it is sin that is involved. When you turn to Leviticus chapter 5, we'll look at some Old Testament scriptures. Begin with verse 1. It says there, "If a person sins in the hearing in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of this matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Or if a person touches anything unclean, whether it's a carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of unclean livestock or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a person swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty of any of these matters. And it shall be, when he is guilty of these matters, he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing." When he becomes aware of that sin, the writer of Leviticus says at that time he has confessed that very thing. Leviticus chapter 26. Verses 40 and 42. "If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, which they were unfaithful to me, and that they have walked also contrary to me, and that I have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, when they realize what they have done, and they make confession that they have done wrong, then God said that He would forgive them. When you turn to Joshua chapter 7, there we have, as you're familiar with, the story of Achan. In Joshua chapter 7, you have the sin of Achan. In verse 11 of Joshua chapter 7, it says there, Israel has sinned and have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. Keep in mind, it was not Israel as a nation, but they were included in that because of the sin of Achan and his family. For they have taken some of the cursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. So it talks about this accursed thing. And they were to be destroyed for this. And we understand in verse 15 that it said, then it shall be, he who has taken this accursed thing shall be burned with fire. He and all he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of God, of the Lord, because he had done a disgraceful thing. Israel could not stand before their enemies because of the sin of Achan. And the punishment here is rendered that all that this individual has, whoever it may be, is going to be destroyed. Not only them, everything they have, and that of their family, the punishment that was there. It says, they shall be burned with fire. In verse 19, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. In verse 20, Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. At the time Joshua brought this to Achan's attention, Achan made confession of what he had done. And that's how sin is handled. When sin is pointed out in an individual's life, at that time, they make confession for this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We have the story here of David that we're familiar with. As Nathan, in verse 9, says, why have you despised the command of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. In response to this, when Nathan told David this in verse 13, it says, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned. Here's a confession that he made. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin from you. And so we understand that when sin is brought to someone's attention, they make confession of that and sins are forgiven. But first, those are the steps. Sin is pointed out. When a person realizes sin, he makes confession of that. And then those sins are forgiven. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In Samuel's farewell address to Israel, he brings to their remembrance them asking for a king and what a sin that they had committed in doing this. In verse 12, 1 Samuel 12, it says, And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. And therefore, here is a king whom you have chosen, whom you have desired, and take note, the Lord has set a king over you. With this sin, when you go to verse 19, there it says, and the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. And so you have an order here that sin is pointed out. Confession is made. Then prayer is made for that individual. That's confession. Numbers chapter 5. Verses 5 through 7. The Lord spoke The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. When a man or woman commits any sin, that man committed an unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess that sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution. Again, this personal idea of when an individual, it's a personal thing that one has done. Those things are pointed out to that individual. They are to confess that. And then prayer is to be made that they may be forgiven. Again, there's two common things in all these. The individual who has sinned is to make confession, and it's to be made immediately when they become knowledge of what they have done. But when you look at the New Testament, we have two verses that covers this. In James 5 and verse 16, when James there says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. Persons who have committed a trespass is to confess, and then prayer is to be made. No one is to confess a sin for another. Much like that no one, her sister Brock, can make that good confession for her. That's her confession before God, that she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're to do as David, when David said, I have sinned. David made that good confession. And sometimes we get carried away and thinking maybe we're like the Catholic Church and we make confession to a father and the father makes confession for us. That's not New Testament scripture. We are to make confession for what I have done and what you have done. No one is to confess the sin of another. That's your responsibility, just like it is mine, that I have sinned and I want you to pray for me. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, again, this individuality, if we or if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, the individual matter. In Acts chapter 8, we see an example of this. And Peter there, when the question 8 and verse 22, when it says, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And Simon the sorcerer, when he thought that the price could be bought with something, and Peter said, you repent of this your wickedness. When Peter told him that, and he said then to pray with your heart you may be forgiven. In verse 24, then Simon said to Peter, you pray for me because I'm asking forgiveness. That's the steps in obtaining forgiveness of our sins. When we're pointed out, our sin is pointed out, we are to acknowledge that, and our brothers and sisters are to pray for us that our sins may be forgiven. And that's what the example that you have in Acts chapter 8, when Simon said, will you pray for me? And again, that's the meaning in these verses. When one becomes aware of sin they have committed, they will confess or admit that. Vine says on this word confess, is to confess forth, freely, openly, publicly acknowledging your sin. Not that I tell Laurel, you go up and tell people what I've done. I am to stand before you as my brothers and sisters in Christ and publicly announce what I have done. That's public confession. And I do not rely upon anybody else to do that for me. I should have confidence in my brothers and sisters in Christ that they'll pray with me and for me, and they have a care for my soul. And I shouldn't be embarrassed to do that. Because we're all sinners. Why would I be ashamed to acknowledge you that I have problems in life? But sometimes, again, we get into this Catholic mode of wanting someone to acknowledge certain things for us. And those words are to be spoken from my mouth and your mouth, and not from someone else's mouth. That I acknowledge to God I have sinned before my brothers and sisters. Again, no one can make confession for my sins any more than anyone could make a good confession for Sister Brock this morning. If you're here tonight, you have not obeyed the gospel. God has granted you again opportunity to be reconciled to Him. That good confession, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Your salvation is based upon that simple statement. With that simple statement, all the other acts of salvation will be in your life. That of repentance, that of baptism. If you truly believe that, then you'll do whatever has been said for you to do in order to be saved. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, do you? Do you make that confession, as we look at the other verse, do you make that confession before others that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do they see that confession in your life? We looked at other examples where those people confessed that very thing, that they truly believed that Jesus Christ was the Lord of their life. Before their friends they come in contact with, those who they work with. Do you truly believe that? If so, you would be making that good confession each and every day. And when you sin, you make that good confession, as David did, I have sinned before God. And I see nothing wrong with being very explicit, this is what I have done, and here's the weakness that I have. That each can pray with you and for you, those sins be forgiven, you can be reconciled to God, and you can have the heart that David had, a person after God's own heart. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing. Thank you.